Hey, this is Ryan Miller. I'm the lead pastor of Local City Church. Welcome to our podcast. I hope this talk encourages you, inspires you, and reminds you that there is always hope. That this is just the beginning of a conversation between you and Jesus. Thank you for joining us today. Enjoy the message.
I just want you to realize that God wants to perform miracles in our life. But are we willing to cry out to him and pray like he wants to? Or are we willing to say, oh, you know what, life is life. It's just the way it is. Today, what I hope to give you is the title of our message. If you want to get your notes out or you can follow along digitally by tapping the disc in front of you, is that miracles provide us anchors in the storms. Anchors in the storm. Now listen, life is a storm sometimes. And the truth is, as you're beginning to write some things down this morning, is that we all go through storms, physical, emotional, and spiritual. Turn to the person next to you, tell them, hey, you're gonna go through a storm. You're gonna go through one. Here's three truths about the physical, emotional, and spiritual storms. At any stage in our life, we're either coming out of a storm, in a storm, or heading into the next storm. And so for us, we have to realize which stage we're in. All right, I'm coming out of one. God, thank you so much. I'm in one right now. God, I desperately need you. Or I'm about to go into one. God, please prepare me for what's ahead. And what I love about that is that God wants to bring us anchors in those storms. And we're gonna, again, talk about a miracle over nature today that really, I think if we lean into it, can speak to us directly to maybe where some of us are at here in person or watching online. And what we can do today is use the disciples as a perfect scapegoat of like, man, look how messed up they were. I'm glad I'm not that way, but we are that way. And we can lean into them a little bit and begin to learn from them. So on your notes, or if you want to turn to it in your Bible, Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 35, here's what we're going to read today. It says this, as evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. Would you do me a favor and circle or highlight those two words, let's cross. We're going to come back to that in a minute. So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon, a fierce storm came up. Everybody say, but soon. But soon. Nice. There we go. We're getting there. Let's go. But soon a fierce storm came up and high waves were breaking into the boat and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. So the disciples woke him shouting, teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown? Let me just say these three words again. Don't you care? We'll come back to that. When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, silence, be still. And suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? And the disciples were absolutely terrified. Who is this man? They asked each other. Even the wind and waves obey him. What I want to give you tonight is, yes, the disciples did some silly things, but they also did one very important thing. And it's really the thing I want you to remember when you leave today. So when someone asks you tomorrow, hey, what'd you talk about at church? Or if you want to tell someone this, here's the thing to remember. Simple two sentences. When I see the storm, I seek the Savior. When I see the storm, I seek the Savior. When I see the storm, I seek the Savior. Would you one more time pray with me this morning? God, we pray that that would be our heart today. That when we see the storm, we would seek the Savior, that we would not see the storm and be afraid, but we would seek you. And Father, I pray that you would speak to us this morning, be with us here in this room, be with all of our incredible leaders over in Local City Kids as well as they teach our awesome next generation about your son Jesus. And we give you this time as we listen and lean in Jesus' name, amen. It's a funny thing in mornings like this, right? So we have a household full of two boys. I mean, it's not going to be full with just two, but sometimes they make it seem like it's full because we have a one-year-old and then we have our oldest shepherd who's about to turn six. And today I found it really funny. Like they get affected by the time change pretty significantly. All right. So normally on Sundays, shepherd is up and ready to go. He's like, let's go. It's Sunday. Today, when, you know, 5:30 rolled around, he was like, because he comes with my wife every Sunday because we want him to be in the house. And usually when he wakes up, he'll come walk into our room and get in our big bed. And I was getting ready. And so I flipped the bedroom light on and he was like, ugh, daddy, seriously? And like brought the covers over his head. And I was like, oh, I love that, man. But I think for some of us, we've got to get woken up a little bit, maybe just not on time change Sunday, but in our spiritual life. That God wants to turn the light on. And maybe at first it's a little like, oh God, seriously? But God wants to show us some things about just who he is. And he wants to bring to light just how powerful he is in our life and just how inviting he is to see him do something on our behalf in a miraculous and powerful way. As we see the storm, there's a reality of the storms in life. But that those storms would not defeat us or discourage us, that in those moments of those storms and that thunder and lightning and rain, in those moments, our first reaction would be to seek the Savior. Because what's going on in this situation here is just like I said, we all go through storms, physical, emotional, and spiritual. So there's no denying that there's a physical storm going on in this passage of Scripture. There's rain, there's thunder and lightning. It says that there is waves crashing over the side of the boat. I would be a little panicked if that was me. And some of the disciples were professional fishermen, and they were going into the Sea of Galilee, which was known for its sudden storms, for its sudden disruptances, right, of these waves and thundering. It was known for that. But isn't it interesting that Jesus brought them right into that scenario? Jesus brought them right into that storm to see what would happen when that physical storm would arise. Then it moved to emotional. They're panicking. They're getting buckets out and probably throwing water. They're trying to tighten the sails. They're trying to steer their way out of the waves. They're doing whatever it takes because emotionally, the storm is beginning to rise up. Have you ever had where you move from maybe a physical storm or a physical circumstance that quickly evolved into a deep emotional and internal thing going on the inside where you start to panic? You start to feel those things of anxiety wear you down where something that was just on the outside now has intruded on the inside? Invaded your heart and your soul. And then what happens in the story, it goes even deeper. It goes to the thing that really affects everything, and that's our spirit. The storm becomes spiritual. Jesus, don't you care? They began to question whether or not Jesus cared for them. They began to question the character of Jesus. See, that's the first temptation that the enemy loves to do in our life. If you go back to Genesis chapter 2, what does the enemy say to Adam and Eve? Hey, does God really say that? Because if he really cared for you, he'd let you do whatever you want. He'd let you eat of whatever tree you wanted to eat from, if he really cared for you. See, the enemy loves to get you questioning that. He loves to take a physical storm and make you begin to panic emotionally so then he can begin to attack you spiritually. And this is what happens in this story. The physical storm creates a storm emotionally, and that begins to attack them spiritually. Jesus, don't you care? But they do one thing that's kind of important. They go to Jesus, who's resting. What? We'll talk about that in a second, all right? But think about this question today. What if the miracle isn't just the outside storm in this story? What if the miracle wasn't the storm Jesus calmed on the outside, but the storm he calmed on the inside as well? See, again, Jesus isn't just about solving all your outer problems. He wants to solve some inner problems as well. Because guess what? If he can help you solve some of those, yes, you may go through storms, as we all will, but we'll begin to deal with them differently. We've said it this way at Local City, is that it's not just about changing our circumstances, it's about changing the way we experience those circumstances. Because sometimes what God is trying to do is change us, and sometimes we have to go through a storm for those things to be changed. Water erosion takes a long time if you've ever been to the Grand Canyon. Didn't start that way, but years and years and years, that river running through it, God wants to do the same thing. Sometimes he brings the rain of storms and the thundering and lightning to rumble some of those things and erode some of those things out of you so he can begin to create you into the human and likeness of Jesus that he really created you to be. Now think about, I'm a visual guy. So here's the picture of what this story looks like, all right? We got a whole bunch of disciples, and look at Jesus. Now, to the annoyance of my wife, I can sleep anywhere. Like, the first argument Adrian and I ever got in was on our flight to the, well, we had arguments when we were engaged and dating, but our first married argument, all right, yes, married couples argue even in the church, it's okay, we just argue the right way. So our flight to our honeymoon down to Sandals Resort in St. Lucia, I'm like, I'm asleep before the plane takes off, all right? Like, I pop the headrest up, fold the little things in, I got my whole system, lean like this, and I'm gone, all right? So I just did what I normally did, but I forgot, now I'm married. I'm not traveling alone, right? And so I put the headrest up, click them over, go like this, asleep the whole flight. Wake up to, like, my wife in this posture. Like, nice flight. And I'm like, yeah, it was great. I slept the whole time. She's like, oh, it must be nice. Now, you know how that goes, right? And so, like, first argument, because I can sleep anywhere. Even now, at the age of 35, about to be 36, if it's later in the day and I'm sitting still, if I'm sitting on the couch, if I'm somewhere just sitting still, it just happens, right? And I feel like, you know what? I probably could fall asleep in this storm, maybe a little bit, right? But Jesus, he's like reclined. The scripture says that he's like got a little blanket that he's using as a pillow. Like, he is at rest, right? And you see the posture of the disciples is anything but. We've got a few different postures going on. At the front of the boat, we got guys trying to steer and trying to take control. We've got the middle disciples. They're kind of focused on the storm and seeing what's going on, and then we have the back disciples who are like, yo, Jesus, wake up! Isn't that interesting that those are kind of three responses that we can have? In the storm, we can try and take control on our own strength. We can just focus on what's going on, or we can seek the Savior. My invitation is for you today is to not try and get control, not just describe how crazy your storm is, but go to your God and begin to then say, man, God, you are so great, and then tell your storm how great your God is. Are you with me today? Local City, come on, I need your help today. Because here's the thing about this story, is that Jesus is resting and it's awesome. And there's a reason he's resting. It's because he knows who his Heavenly Father is. And he knows the presence and gift that he is giving the disciples here in this miracle he's about to perform. I love this verse in Hebrews 6:19. It says this hope, not whatever hope you come up with, not whatever hope feels good, not whatever hope affirms you and encourages you and validates you. No, the hope of Jesus. We say it this way, there is always hope because hope has a name, and that name is Jesus. That's what Hebrews 6 is talking about. It's not talking about an emotion of hope that is because life is great. It's talking about the person of Jesus, that he gave his life for us so that we could be in relationship with our Heavenly Father. That when we go through storms, this hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. Now, I know nothing about boating, but I do know that this is an anchor. And I do know that this anchor is heavy. It's got a ton of rope so that you can throw it down, right? So my hope for you today is that you will begin to do this in your storms. And you'll just stay there. And where you'll drop this anchor is in the hope of Jesus. Not in your own strength. Not try to run to grab the steering wheel or whatever's on a boat. Not to try and just focus on the storm or grab the sail. But that you would say, hey, you know what? The storm is starting up. I just need to drop anchor into the hope of Jesus first and foremost. So that way I won't sway off into destruction and crash upon the rocks. So that way I won't be taken to places I don't want to go so far away from Jesus. We drop anchor. We say, you know what? I'm going to drop anchor in the hope of Jesus that does not move. Scripture promises us that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So you know where I'm not dropping my anchor? In my emotions. You know where I'm not dropping my anchor? In other people, at least to start off with, because we need community. You know what I'm not dropping my anchor in is things that just make me feel good because my emotions are always like this, or what I want is always, I'm just saying, you know what? Jesus, hold me together. It says in Colossians chapter 1 that Jesus holds all of creation together. So what better place to drop my anchor? See, the problem is that maybe we understand this, but we keep dropping our anchor in places where there's sand, where there's nothing for the anchor to grab hold to. And then when that storm really picks up, we begin to move a certain direction. We're like, what happened? Well, it's because we dropped our anchor in the wrong spot. And then we got to pull it back up and drop it somewhere else. But see, an anchor is not just purpose to stay somewhere. It's used for a boat that begins to move forward and take you place to place. That's what our life is. So there are times when, yes, we're going to go on a journey, but we have to be anchored in some things. So I want to give you three quick things that are anchors for our souls. And you see this with Jesus, and you begin to see this with the disciples. The first one is that we're anchored when we cultivate God's presence. Sorry for the typo there. Just noticed it. We're anchored when we cultivate God's presence. Now, this is not presence TS, the things that God gives you. This is God's presence, who he is. Some of us, I think that really the way we can anchor our souls, let me just challenge you today, is to be better worshipers. And you can see the disciples evolve in this way. So one of the things they do, again, is they see the storm, they seek the Savior, but they do at least run to the presence of Jesus. Now, what I love about the posture of Jesus is that he's resting. And listen, this isn't just a rest of, hey, I'm really tired. This is a rest of faith. What does a rest of faith mean? It means that even though the storm is raging, I'm resting. When is the last time we've looked at our life and said, you know what, things are going crazy, but I'm going to choose to rest in the presence of God today, rather than take my mind on a tangent emotionally that just sends me into stress, anxiety, and depression, rather than try and grab the steering wheel and take control? When is the last time we just said, you know what, I'm going to rest in God's presence. Everything else is crazy. You know why Jesus was able to rest? It's because he knew God's calling on his life. He's like, this may be crazy, but it's not going to take me now. And what did Jesus say to the disciples? Hey, he made them a promise already that we're going to talk about in a second. Let's cross to the other side. See, what's interesting about this story is I believe that the disciples then begin to learn how to anchor themselves in God's presence. Because if you fast forward in the book of Mark, you begin to see the story and the miracle of another natural miracle of Jesus walking on water. And a storm is raging. And in that story, good old Peter says, Jesus, if that's you, call me out so I can walk on the waves with you. Big newfound trust in Jesus. Whereas first, Peter was probably, he was the fisherman on the boat. He was, come on, we got to get this water out. We got to get in control. Hey, no matter, even if the storm's going, Jesus, if that's really you, call me out and I'm going to brave the waves today. And what I love about this, if you know the story, obviously Peter messes up and takes his eyes off Jesus and falls into the water. But when Jesus steps back into the boat, they no longer ask, who is this man that even the wind and waves obey him? If you know the story, you know what happens? They drop everything and they just worship Jesus. Like, I cannot believe Jesus is in our boat. What we just witnessed, this is a miracle. We've witnessed something incredible. Our only response is to worship. We've got to learn how to cultivate God's presence. That's the power of the first 15, that tomorrow morning, you start your day with 5 minutes in God's word, 5 minutes in worshiping God, and 5 minutes in prayer. We've got to get good at cultivating God's presence in our life because it is the number one anchor for our souls in storms. You know what my first response is sometimes when I'm feeling those stresses in my mind, when that physical storm is moving to emotional and spiritual? I put some noise-canceling headphones on. I crank up the volume of my Spotify worship playlist and allow that worship just to drown out everything else. And listen, my posture during that time is not, oh, this is a good beat, this is a good rhythm. No, like I'm in my office with my arms stretched high. Like I'm in our office space, I'm in the shower. I'm like, God, I cannot do this without you. I'm glad I have a moment where I can step boldly into your presence. The reason we get so tossed to and fro by storms is we don't know how to cultivate God's presence in our life. I can tell if we're good at that or not. I just got to be honest with you by what our posture in God's presence on Sunday mornings is like. Now listen, it's your first time we're inviting you to this, but if you've been coming to church forever and our posture in worship is still, man, the storms are going to toss you around. Because for me, I have no other choice than to be like this. I have no other choice to sing louder than my storms. I have no other choice than to bow down in the presence of God because I am learning more and more how to cultivate. That's an action word, right? It's not just, you know, oh, cool. No, it's cultivate. Learn how it works in your life. Learn how God can begin to speak and anchor you where you can drop yourself in the presence of God. I love what it says in Psalm 91:1. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will what? Find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. It doesn't say those who visit the shelter of the Most High. What does it say? Those who live. May my life be described as one who dwells and lives in the shadow and the shelter of the Most High. I love that word shadow, because you know what that kind of is representing, what David is speaking about? Is the shadow of wings. When a mother bird wraps her arms around, you know what happens then? The babies can't see anything, but they know they're safe. An invitation for us today is to realize sometimes God's going to wrap us up in his presence and we can't see anything, but I trust in him and I know I'm safe. We have to realize that miracles are not about getting answers. The first miracle is realizing that I can step into the presence of God freely because of Jesus. Here's the last thing on this point, and then we'll move to number two, is that peace isn't the absence of trouble. Peace is the presence of God. I hope that's really freeing for a lot of us today. It's because you're praying for peace and you equate that to whether or not you have any troubles in your life. Life is hard, you're going to have troubles. And peace is not the absence of that. Peace is the presence of God. That even though a storm can be raging, Jesus is in a rest of faith with a nice pillow, knowing that we're moving forward, knowing that he's cultivated God's presence, knowing that he said we're going to cross, and so the disciples can lean on that. I challenge you in your storms to create the anchor of cultivating God's presence. Number two is this: we're anchored when we remember God's promises. I've said this a few times already. What did Jesus say to the disciples? Let's cross to the other side. Can I give you a little freedom and confidence today? When Jesus says it, it's going to happen. When Jesus says it, it is a promise that you can mark down that is going to be fulfilled. We are anchored ourselves when we remember God's promises. This tells me that there is something that I need to remember, and that's God's promises. That's his word. I can remember that this story is not a story, it actually occurred. That there were people who were following Jesus, that Jesus led right into a storm, but right before then, he had said, we're going to cross to the other side. If you're going through something right now, can I encourage you that maybe today, today Jesus is saying, hey, you're going to cross to the other side. Please don't give up. Please keep going. I know you see the storm, but why don't you move from just seeing the storm to then seeking me as your Savior, seeking Jesus as the one where you can find shelter, to seek the promise of God who is proven in the person of Jesus. God's promised you some great things and he never breaks them. God promises us some powerful things and he wants to see them come to fruition in our life. God loves this phrase, I've witnessed it. God wants you to witness him doing great things in your life. Again, I love the book of Psalms, and here's what it says in the longest chapter in the entire Bible, Psalm 119. I'm worn out. Ever said that before? I got two kids. I say a lot. Worn out. I'm worn out waiting for your rescue, but I have put my hope in your word. I love this verse. You know why? Because it doesn't say I'm worn out because I waited. I'm worn out because I'm still waiting for your rescue. But you know what? I've put my hope in your word. So when it says in Romans chapter 8, I know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose, I know God's going to work it out for good. That verse doesn't say that to those who love God, you'll never go through anything hard. Right? Never go through it. No, you're going to go through storms. You're going to go through hard stuff. Trust me, I've been through my fair share. But I know that even if it's great or horrible, even though it's a mountain or a valley, God is going to work it out for the betterment and good of my life because I know I love God and I know I've been called by him and I know he is a good, good God who wants to bring miracles into my life. This could be a huge confidence boost for you from here on out. Don't let your storms speak louder than God's word. You can see that this is an anchor that is heavy. Can I encourage you, the word of God is even heavier. And some of us need to know that, man, when I drop my anchor, I'm not dropping it in emptiness. I'm not dropping it in my own words and my own thoughts and my own self-help. No, I'm dropping it in the word of God. which has been proven and true for thousands of years. I think some of the greatest things we need to do in our life is when those storms get really loud, is just open up our word and read things like, man, I'm living in the shelter of the Most High. I'm safe. I'm worn out, but I'm putting my trust in God. Man, I'm never going to let my storm be louder than God's word in my life. And here's the last thing today as we close. Number three is that we're anchored when we understand God's process. As the worship team joins me on stage and we begin to finish, I want you to know God has a process. And who is the one that led them into this storm? Jesus. But we know this storm matured and grew the disciples. Because what do they say? Who's this man that even the wind and waves obey him? They knew something about Jesus that, man, earth obeys this guy. Creation is responding to his words. I think we got to get even closer to him. I think we got to even pay even more attention to what he's saying and what he's doing. And it didn't happen overnight. Jesus took many years to walk the disciples through all these different things they had to grow in, but it was a process. Can I remind you today that tomorrow on Monday morning, you're not going to wake up and have everything figured out? Yeah, Jesus can and will silence your storm, but that doesn't mean that you have it all figured out. It doesn't mean that you're still not walking through the process. Because here's the thing, until the day I die and go to heaven to be with Jesus forever, I'm in the process of becoming more like him. I never have it all figured out. I never know enough. Maybe you've thought this or even said this before. I know that Jesus guy, or I know that Christian thing. I'm telling you, you don't, because there's so much more to know. I've never arrived in my faith because God is an infinite God, and Jesus is always inviting me to know him at a deeper and more intimate and closer level. But what is the process that I can, what is the posture I can have in the process? It's Romans chapter 5, verse 3 and 4, where it says this, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And the endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. When is the last time when I faced a trial, when I faced some troubles, when I was going through a storm, I rejoiced and said, God, thank you so much that I can go through this storm. I'll tell you what, I don't do it enough. Because usually when a storm comes in, I start complaining. I start saying, why me? I start questioning God. But may I grow in God's process to the place that I say, God, I'm so thankful that I'm going through this storm because I know in this storm, I'm going to feel close to you. God, I'm so thankful that I may be going through a tough time, but I know I can find that rest of faith in you. I know that I'm going through something hard, but I know, God, that you work it out for good to those who love you. I love that it says in this verse, and endurance develops strength. Some of us, we feel weak in our faith. It's because every time we begin to go through something difficult, we just find an escape, or we quit, or we just go back to level one again. I encourage you, keep going. Don't give up. Keep enduring, because a faith trusted is a faith that can be tested. I think I skipped over a blank, but maybe it's the one to close with, is that when we go through storms, it reveals what we really believe. When we go through storms, it reveals what we really believe. It's easy to believe when things are great. It's easy to believe when things are hunky-dory and pie in the sky. But what happens when everything goes crazy? What happens when the waves are crashing over the sides? What happens when the wind is louder than you can even think? What happens when everything seems to be going to chaos and you're losing? That reveals what we really believe. When we're in trouble, it reveals our character. So my one encouragement today is not to say, hey, get better, get stronger. My one encouragement today is when you see the storm, seek the Savior. And know the posture of Jesus is one of care, is one of kindness. The enemy would love for you to think God doesn't care about you. But God invites us to know that he cares about us so deeply that he wants to bring miracles and demonstrate his power to those around us. Because you know what I think this was? This was an anchor moment for the disciples. Because I'm sure there were numerous times where they were like, where people were like, why are you following this guy? And they're like, yo, we were just on this boat out in this storm, and he said, silence, be still, and everything was quiet. What? That's crazy. I know it was crazy, but hey, man, I know that he's got the answers. I know that he cares. I know that he's inviting me to a deeper experience of humanity and life than I could ever find on my own, so I got to keep going. Here's what I love about this story is that in the very beginning, it says other boats followed, but only one boat had that close, intimate experience of the power of Jesus. What happens is the all of the Sea of Galilee is quieted, so all those boats are safe, but there's only one small group of people who knew why the storm was quieted. There was only one small group of people that had that moment where they saw the storm and they sought the Savior and they got to experience the word of Jesus going forth and nature and creation responding like that and a miracle happening. Local City, may we be that boat of people that are praying for God to bring a miracle to our city, praying for God to bring a miracle to people that they may experience the benefits of the miracle, but we know who really made it happen, and we invite them to get in the boat. We can't get a boat big enough for the people that want to get into the miracles of Jesus. Can you stand with me today as we close and close your eyes?
Thank you so much for joining us on the Local City Podcast. I want to encourage you to take the message you just heard and allow it to go deeply into your heart. Let Jesus do the deep work that only he can do. A special thank you to everyone who gives to Local City Church. Your generosity makes this podcast possible and creates life change for so many people. You can be a part of spreading this message by going to localcity.church/give. You can also subscribe, rate, and share this message with your family and friends. Thanks again for listening. God bless you. Have a great day.